Studio 7 from The Voice of America on Thursday, August 14th, 2014. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Sandra Nyaira.
And I'm Jonga Kandemiri.
Among our top stories this evening:
in a repeat of sentiments he echoed last week at his party's annual youth conference, President Robert Mugabe today bemoaned the growing factionalism in his ZANU-PF party, saying the internal squabbles are tearing the former revolutionary party apart.
Our fight is a fight against imperialism and colonialism. We cannot wage a fight against each other.
Divisions rock the MDC formation led by former Prime Minister Amogen Tsvangirai as members argue about key constitutional reforms ahead of the party's congress scheduled for October.
What Mr. Tsvangirai is simply doing by this statement is to clarify issues that he has spent half his life fighting dictatorship, and there's no way he can preside over a process in which another dictator has been met in the MDC.
And local and international human rights groups call on SADC leaders to prioritize human rights and poverty reduction issues at their weekend summit in Victoria Falls.
In a repeat of sentiments he echoed last week at his party's annual youth conference, President Robert Mugabe today bemoaned growing factionalism in his ZANU-PF party, saying the internal squabbles are tearing the former revolutionary party down the middle as it prepares for its elective congress in December. Thomas Chiripasi has more details from Harare.
Officiating at his party's Women's League Congress that kicked off in Harare today, ahead of the party's main congress in December, President Mugabe said factionalism is not helping anyone but destroying the ruling party. Vice President Joyce Mujuru and Justice Minister Emmerson Mnangagwa are reportedly leading camps that are battling to succeed Mr. Mugabe should the veteran leader leave office. President Mugabe recently said all key positions are up for grabs at his party's congress, but it is highly unlikely that he would be challenged.
Our fight is a fight against imperialism and colonialism, those who are imposing sanctions against us. We cannot wage a fight against each other.
Following the chaos that marred the party's Youth League Congress, Mr. Mugabe noted that senior leaders should allow Congress delegates to make their own decisions without being influenced. According to Mr. Mugabe, the Youth League's Congress was marred by irregularities, including vote buying. On the other hand, violence related to factionalism within the party is being reported in some parts of the country. The president said the divisions were tantamount to criminality.
That destroys our unity. We are facing also the endemic enemies of hunger, disease, and poverty. In some cases, the ignorance also that we must remedy with more and more education. And these are the areas that must be addressed by Zimaset. Those are the enemies we must fight, because they affect us all, affect our people. We need to uplift the standards of our people, the standards that, when spelled out, mean their economic status, which is getting them to be wealthier than they are, getting them to be healthier than they are, getting them to be more enlightened, more highly educated than they are, getting them therefore to be freer in the environment and much more capacitated generally than they are. That is the fight we must fight. Not the fight to be this or to be that in the party or to be this or that in government. The people, when we carry out, we are carrying out this fight against these enemies, the people will certainly reward us at the end of it.
Mr. Mugabe's wife, Grace, is expected to be ordained as the new secretary for the Women's League, a position once held by the late First Lady, Salim Mugabe. Grace will take over from Women's Affairs Minister Opamu Chinguri, who recently endorsed the First Lady at celebrations to mark her 49th birthday in Mazowe. Muchinguri is reportedly in the Mnangagwa camp, and analysts say the move to appoint Amai Mugabe, the leader of the Women's League, is meant to counterweight Mrs. Mujuru, whom they say was becoming too powerful and preparing to take over from Mr. Mugabe. The Mnangagwa camp is alleged to have offered Grace Mugabe support and protection in the post-Mugabe era. Both Mujuru and the Justice Minister have denied reports that they are leading factions in the ruling party. Following Mr. Mugabe's address, the Women's League Congress delegates broke into dance and song. The conference is continuing in the capital. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Thomas Chiripasi.
The Movement for Democratic Change Formation, led by Morgan Tsvangirai, has been rocked by divisions on key constitutional reforms ahead of the party's congress scheduled for October. So sharp are the differences that Tsvangirai has been forced to distance himself from the acrimonious fallout, releasing a statement today saying, as current president, he will not allow the process to degenerate into the creation of an all-powerful president like his rival, President Robert Mugabe, whom he labels dictator. The party is in the process of gathering views from its provinces ahead of a review of the constitution after some senior party officials, led by former Secretary General Tendai Biti, broke ranks and formed an outfit called MDC Renewal Team.
The Biti move follows a similar action by former Secretary General Welsh Mengube, who also had a fallout with Mr. Tsvangirai and formed his own party. Party insiders say the Biti and Ngube incidences are now being used by some as an excuse to call for radical reforms and for the concentration of power in the president. Mr. Tsvangirai's spokesman, Luke Tamborinyoka, tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that his boss does not believe in arrogating power to individuals.
Mr. Tsvangirai's position is that this is supposed to be an objective process, which has no intention whatsoever to arrogate too much power in one office. Mr. Tsvangirai's position is that the MDC is a democratic party. A lot of information has been peddled on the market, for example, to the effect that Mr. Tsvangirai will have power to appoint people. What Mr. Tsvangirai is simply doing by this statement is to clarify issues that he has spent half his life fighting dictatorship, and there's no way he can preside over a process in which another dictator is being met in the MDC. This is an objective process which is meant to address issues of vagueness, issues of constitutional clarity, which are not meant in any way to arrogate too much power on one individual, which is against the democratic tenets of the MDC.
But how far is the party gone with the reviewing of the constitution?
The constitutional outreach programs to the provinces are continuing, and I think there are about 5 provinces left, but it's an ongoing process.
We also understand that there might be a meeting on Sunday to discuss the constitution, among other issues. Tell us more about this.
A meeting of who?
A national council or national executive?
No. There's no such meeting. Executive obviously will be going on a retreat, but it is just a strategic retreat of an organ of the party which is not meant to discuss the constitution. Constitutional outreach programs are being done in provinces. The team is moving consulting views in provinces, not in the national executive. What is happening over the weekend is the national executive meeting.
That was Tsvangirai spokesman Luke Tamborinyoka on the line from Harare.
Some local and international human rights groups have called on Southern Africa development community leaders to prioritize human rights and poverty reduction issues as the regional heads of state and government prepare to meet in the resort town of Victoria Falls this weekend. Thomas Chiripasi has more details from Harare.
As regional leaders meet in Victoria Falls this weekend for the 34th SADC Heads of State and Government Summit, Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights Programs manager Zimbabwe Chimbga urged the leaders to look for ways to improve the human rights situation in Zimbabwe and other countries in the regional bloc. Chimbga told a news conference in Harare today that the country's human rights situation remains a cause for concern.
We want to take this opportunity as Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights to urge the government of Zimbabwe, as it takes up the chairmanship of SADC, to lead by example and ensure that people are empowered in the real sense, because they will be the leader of the 14-member SADC grouping, and there will be expectations that Zimbabwe leads on the rights-based approach to empowerment of the society.
Amnesty International Southern Africa Director Depros Muchena also urged Zimbabwean President Robert Mugabe to listen to other leaders in the regional grouping. Mr. Mugabe takes over the rotational chair of the group from Malawian President Peter Mutharika.
So it's absolutely critical that Zimbabwe reflects the spirit of its own constitution, but also lives up to the international norms, conventions and standards that it is signed up to, because the spotlight will be on it as it is on SADC.
Muchena said the 34th SADC summit should also seek to address unemployment, poverty and economic problems in the Southern African region.
For Zimbabwe, which is in the chair, it will be absolutely critical that it leads from the front in terms of implementing human rights standards, stopping evictions, and ensuring that social and economic rights, which are new in the constitution, find expression in public policy. So Amnesty International is making this call ahead of SADC, because this summit is taking place at a time when we have conflicts across the continent. South Sudan, or the Sudan in general, Central African Republic, Kenya, Nigeria. Zimbabwe will be expected to provide leadership in Southern Africa as it engages with African questions of conflict, of justice, and of human rights.
Meanwhile, Chimbga said Mr. Mugabe should address the problems in Zimbabwe first. The Zeta Lecturer Programs manager urged Mr. Mugabe to engage the opposition. MDCT leader and former Prime Minister Morgan Tsvangirai has been calling for national dialogue, but Mr. Mugabe's ZANU-PF party maintains the opposition should first admit that last year's national elections were free, fair and credible. But Chimbga says Mr. Mugabe should now engage the opposition in his new capacity as chairperson of SADC after the Victoria Falls summit. Human Rights Watch Southern Africa director Tiseke Kasambala said problems in the region can only be resolved if the civil society and the media are allowed to operate freely.
You cannot have economic empowerment, economic transformation, sustainable development, and all these wonderful buzzwords if you don't have accountable and transparent leadership. If you don't have gender parity, if you don't have inclusiveness, which includes minority rights as well. More importantly, I don't think you can achieve these things if you don't have a strong and vibrant civil society and a free and independent press or media. And unfortunately, in the region, what we have seen is a regression, in particular when it comes to civil society organizations' rights and the rights of the independent media. For example, we have highlighted the situation in Swaziland, which has been deteriorating quite drastically over the past few years.
The weekend SADC summit will be held under the theme SADC's strategy for economic transformation, leveraging the region's diverse resources for sustainable economic and social development through beneficiation and value addition. Foreign Affairs ministers have already started meeting in the Victoria Falls ahead of the weekend summit. NGOs are also meeting separately in Bulawayo. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Thomas Chiripasi.
You are listening to Studio 7 for Zimbabwe from the Voice of America in Washington.
Studio 7 can be found on the 4930, 5930 and 15455 kHz shortwave frequencies. We also broadcast on 909 medium wave or AM frequency.
African Union Goodwill Ambassador for the Campaign to End Child Marriage, Nyaradzai Gumbunjwanda, who is in the country for the Southern African Development Community's 34th Summit, says regional leaders must discuss and come up with practical solutions to end child marriages in Southern Africa. Ivan Chifera has details.
Gumbunjwanda told journalists in Harare today that she expects SADC leaders to endorse efforts by the African Union and regional gender and women's affairs ministers calling for efforts to end child marriage in the region and the continent at large.
So my expectation is that the SADC heads of states would endorse the decision that has come from the ministers of gender so that we have a clear commitment, a SADC level commitment to the actions, the practical actions that we need to take on ending child marriage. I also have an expectation in terms of resources that we really need our governments to prioritize the resources that we have in Africa. Africa is not poor. My Africa is not poor.
Malawi President Peter Mutharika has a regional document committing himself and other leaders in SADC to the cause. The ministers, meeting ahead of the weekend summit, also reaffirmed their support towards the United Nations Resolutions 58/3 on women, the girl child and HIV and AIDS, and the African Union's call to ensure no new HIV infections are recorded by 2030 and the campaign to end child marriage in Africa. The African Union Commission in June launched a historic Africa-wide campaign to end child marriage on the continent and announced Gumbunjwanda as their ambassador on the issue. The campaign focuses on policy action and raising continental awareness. Member states would be expected to follow and implement legal frameworks that protect children. Speaking at the launch in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, AUC chairperson Dr. Nkosazana Dlamini-Zuma said child marriage cannot be left unaddressed. She said the continent cannot afford to let this tradition go unchallenged. Malawi and Zambia, both in the SADC region, are among the 10 African countries most affected by the child marriage problem. About 39,000 girls are married off every day, while 14 million are in marriages every year worldwide. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Ivan Chifera.
Our Foreign Affairs Minister Simbarashe Mumbengegwi has taken over as SADC chairperson of the Council of Ministers from his Malawian predecessor, Dr. George Taputula Chaponda. The Council of Ministers meeting is already underway now, with several Zimbabwean ministers and permanent secretaries also present. Meanwhile, hundreds of people from grassroots organizations, including small-scale farmers, rural women, farm workers and members of mining communities impacted from Southern African countries will be at the 2014 SADC People's Summit. The summit takes place in Bulawayo from 14 to 16 August.
First of all, it's a good idea to open up the airwaves, as we've been crying for that for many years in the past. But unfortunately, the operational environment on the ground does not offer itself in a positive manner. So at the moment, advertising is down, many industries have closed, people have no money. So indeed, because radio depends very much on advertising and sponsorship, it is going to be very difficult to sustain these radio licenses. I can foresee a situation that happened with the newspapers when a number of newspapers were licensed and then they could not tap off the ground because there were no resources to do that. And even some of the costs related
to the licenses itself, themselves, that is the license fees, as well as the cost of application. And those have been a hindrance again in this process.
Now tell us, Mr. Masuku, how much money can be needed to actually set up a commercial radio station in Zimbabwe right now?
Well, I've not made that calculation as such, but it runs into hundreds and thousands of dollars. And also, just let's look at the application fees itself. You notice that it's exorbitant, and many organizations have actually failed right from the application stage. So it's very expensive, and then you need the equipment to buy a state-of-the-art studio that runs into thousands of dollars. And then the transmitter network, because you also need good transmitters. This means you're going to get assistance from Transmedia, but you have to fork in a lot of money yourself in order to avail those resources.
That was John Masuku of the Voice of the People radio station speaking to Studio 7 from Harare, saying the future looks bleak for some provincial commercial radio stations likely to be awarded licenses soon as print media entities struggle to sustain operations due to the current harsh economic situation in Zimbabwe. Some applicants, including Alpha Media Holdings, who run several newspapers and are struggling to pay workers, say they will face the challenges head-on to sustain their operations once granted two local commercial stations in Ulawayo and Harare. The applicants say it costs more than $300,000 to set up a radio studio and thousands of dollars in other operational costs. So far, these firms have already paid an application fee of $2,500 and $7,500 for being shortlisted for a public hearing. They will fork out an additional $50,000 if granted a radio license. Skeptics say some licensed radio stations are likely to collapse soon after being set up due to operational problems caused by a depressed economy.
As reported earlier, the Southern African leaders will meet and summit in Victoria Falls this weekend, with local and international groups urging the regional bloc to spend more time discussing issues that will end poverty and human rights abuses. For perspective on what the summit means for Zimbabwe in particular, reporter Tatenda Gumbo spoke with Nick Mangwana, the ZANU-PF UK chairman, and MDCT spokesman Douglas Monzora, who says Zimbabwe is not fit to chair the regional bloc due to its poor human rights record.
We had a constitution which came about as a result of the interference of SADC. That constitution is not being followed. Up to now, we do not have the provincial governments that were elected last year. So we need to see this through the implementation of the constitution by the government of Zimbabwe.
Mr. Mangwana, your take on Zimbabwe's chairmanship of SADC, do you think Zimbabwe has the capability to do so?
Yes, Zimbabwe's got a massive capability of chairing SADC. I don't think that's an issue at all. What we're having a problem with is Mr. Monzora and his party. They are holding the country at ransom. They are bombing the country down with the issue of legitimacy of the current government, which legitimacy was endorsed by SADC itself, was endorsed by AU, was endorsed by APAC, was endorsed by many other organizations. Right now, you want the whole country to be held down in semantics. I am saying the country cannot spend all, right now it's a year gone, and another month almost gone, and we are carrying on like that. And he is saying there is no legitimate government. When there is a legitimate government, we want to come out of that mode, and everybody focus their attention on revamping our economy, on uplifting the livelihoods of our people. Yes, the issue of implementation of constitutional issues and the constitutional institutions is a process. It's never an event. Everybody has to work to align the different laws to the constitution. That's all. But the issue of coming back voters' role, it's gone. Let's move on.
Mr. Monzora, your response there.
The issue of the voters' role is still very, very important, Mr. Mangwana. We are preparing for 2018 elections. We are also preparing for by-elections. We have a constitutional right to information. We don't have a voters' role of our own country. That should be a source of great worry. Then I want to say also that ZANU-PF has got this tendency of blaming others for its own failures. They have been running this government singly for a whole year now, and they promised that there will be 2 million jobs. Right now, no single job has been created, and that is not the fault of the MDC. It is the ineptitude of those who are ruling us. Had we had free and fair elections, we will not be where we are now.
And Mr. Mangwana, some are saying that SADC chairmanship of Zimbabwe might burden the country, as Mr. Monzor is saying, that there are some issues that the country itself should deal with first.
Those are internal issues. They have nothing to do with the international diplomacy of Zimbabwe as the chair of SADC. The voters' roll, which he mentions, is not a static document. It's not a static database. That is always, people are turning 18 every day. People are dying every day. That will continue to be updated. So the issue of having a voters' roll now for 2018 is really not, I don't think it's a legitimate point.
Mr. Monzor, I'll end here with you. Looking at what Mr. Mangwana just pointed out, the issue that Zimbabwe itself, it will be separate from its issues with SADC.
Well, certainly not. But let me say, in answering Mr. Mangwana, let me say there's nothing Zimbabwean about unfairness. There's nothing Zimbabwean about stealing elections. There's nothing Zimbabwean about illegitimacy. These are international problems. Where a country, a member country of a grouping, is unstable by virtue of having its politics which are not right. It's an international issue. It affects the countries of the region. And therefore, it is a legitimate issue to put before SADC.
The question of legitimacy, which we think is not a question, and which we know actually, but is not a question, is an issue that will be resolved in 2018 again when you lose another election. I think you can keep on, Mr. Monzor, I would prefer to call you Comrade Monzor. I think you can keep on hammering this drum. You can ring, you can hit at it every day, but it won't change the thing. That's why the issues that you are bringing up are not going to be on the SADC agenda. You are just messing up the country. That's our take on it.
That was Nick Mangwana, the ZANU-PF UK chairman. You also heard the views of MDCT spokesman Douglas Mwanzora in Harare.
Lastly, villagers in Murewa are benefiting from an eye clinic being run at St. Paul's Msami Mission by some Italian doctors. Mavela Simhlanganya, who spoke with Msami resident Stan Mudzona on the issue.
Quite a helpful program because it helps our people who are struggling in life, because people are failing even to afford their own food. So if it's a program that helps people, it's a very good program, because when you look at our people, the people can go blind because of some illnesses that can be healed, that can be cured. So these programs, they help a lot. We want them to continue like that.
You say that you've actually spoken to some of your relatives that are on this program but are not comfortable enough to be on air. What are they saying about the program?
They are full of praises. They are saying it's a very good thing. They did not expect such a program, and they are very happy about it. They are very happy. People are happy because they are seeing some changes in their lives, because they were struggling with eyesight. Now some they can see now, which is quite a remarkable thing.
And you were also saying that you would like to see the government implement such programs, but looking at the state of the economy in Zimbabwe with the economic crunch, do you think it's possible to have such programs, especially in the rural areas?
I think it's possible, my sister, because if the government can just relax some of the laws and allow the missionaries to continue with their work to help the people, I think it's possible, my sister, because really, if the government is willing, then surely the missionaries can come in and help us.
Stan Mudzona, a Musami resident, speaking there with Mavela Simhlanganya Huye.
Remember to stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. when our hosts will discuss with experts and you, the listeners, about the plight of Zimbabwean women living and working outside the country.
To join the discussion, please text us on the usual numbers and also find us on Facebook and on WhatsApp. We really want to hear from women, women in Zimbabwe, women in the United Kingdom, women in South Africa. Please join Marvelous Ntlanganya Uye and Placedes Jeremiah. We want to know how you are keeping.
And to recap our top stories today.
President Mugabe, in a repeat of sentiments he echoed last week, says his party is really bedeviled by factionalism. He says is dividing and tearing the party apart.
And local and international human rights groups call on SADC leaders to prioritize human rights and poverty reduction issues at their weekend summit in Victoria Falls.
That's our broadcast this evening. Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele with Chris and Standekile. This is Sandra Nyaira in Washington.
And I'm Jonga Kandemiri, wishing you a pleasant evening and a very good night.